Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There are six reasons I will support a certain group of Georgia fans this season. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. And I hope wherever you are right now, you're having just a glorious day. And I mean that. I appreciate y'all getting in here. I've been doing this show since the beginning of the 14 season. So we're about to blow out seven candles. And it's been awesome. So thank you. I say there are six reasons I will support a certain group of Georgia fans. Now, most people know this show does emanate from the Peach State. We are in Atlanta. And I am all. So y'all know that. You also know I'm not a Georgia fan. I'm not a Georgia grad. I grew up here. But I don't hate Georgia. I don't root for Georgia. I ain't with you. I ain't again you, but I do observe. And there are six reasons that this season, yeah, I'm all in for a certain group of Georgia fans. And those six reasons are UAB, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, and Charleston Southern. Dan, would you check that Georgia schedule? Make sure that I didn't, like, skip the Notre Dame or the Clemson game on campus. UAB, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Charleston Southern. Did I leave anyone out?
You did not, because even without seeing it in front of me, I can tell you, everybody I've talked with, oh, what an awful home schedule.
So, yes, Georgia fans who buy season tickets, like this season's season tickets, you got my love. Now, I will say, I happen to be saying at University of Georgia Bulldog, that happens to be the program I'm talking about today. And by the way, there is a bigger picture involving the Cincinnati Bearcats. The reason I even started looking at Georgia's schedule today has to do with Cincinnati. I'll get back to that later in the show. Oh, by the way, Dan, you failed me. I never told everybody about my Mountain West Conference source.
I had reminded you to tell
everybody.
Okay,
you did remind me, but I still didn't do it.
What do I need to do? Prod you next time?
So you keep a running list, things to remind. So I'm going to bring back the Cincinnati thing, what led to this discussion, as well as the Mountain West source thing. Big number one source I have anywhere in college football, somebody inside the Mountain West Conference office. And I don't even know the guy. I just get emails. Hey, man, listen, love the show. You might want this. Okay. So I'll come back to that later. But I was looking at the Bearcats and Indiana and Notre Dame earlier today, and this sort of led me down a side street to the Georgia schedule. And the reason I want to tell y'all the setup for that is I didn't wake up this morning saying, let's do a deep dive on the Bulldog schedule. In fact, if I were looking, like if I say I did wake up this morning, I want to do a piece on the most financially exploited fan base in college football this year. Athens would actually be one of the last places I would go. Do you know why? Because first of all, they're in the SEC, so certainly they're going to have some SEC teams coming to town. And they do, just not the ones you want this year. But I wouldn't look at UGA for a couple of reasons. They're in the SEC, so they're going to have something baked into their home slate from an SEC opponent, and they don't. But the other thing is, UGA, I'll give them credit. They are either at or real close, top of the ladder as far as building out your non-conference slate. Top of the ladder. for future non-conference opponents. Georgia has done as good a job as anybody. Not this season. And so I wouldn't have even looked at Georgia if this was kind of the road I was going to go down. And it's because this is an outlier. Georgia is one of the least likely programs I would have looked at. But again, this is an outlier because it has become normal for Power 5 teams in general to up their schedule. And UGA in particular has done it as well as anybody. An issue has been in the past, and it plays out with Georgia's schedule this year because that contract was signed years ago and all the other stuff we know. One issue has been the premier non-conference games. Predominantly, they have been played at a neutral site. And that actually is a negative now for most fan bases, I believe. Price of the tickets. I don't, on campus, $75, $100, $125, depending on opponent. Week one neutral site paycheck game, like $225 for the same ticket. Travel, all of that. And that's what I'm saying. It's a negative now for most of the fan base, I believe. So many years into it, hadn't most of us, if we wanted to go to Atlanta or Dallas or Orlando, haven't most of us made that trip if we really wanted to go to Charlotte for a week one neutral site paycheck game? Like Bristol, Tennessee? Okay, y'all win. Because that really is different. I'm going to quote a good friend of mine, Dave Hooker, who covered Tennessee for like 20 years. He was at that Bristol game. His exact words. So glad I was there. Would never do it again. I was on a float in Mardi Gras. Dan, do you know that?
Yeah, you've told me.
Yeah, I was on a float in Mardi Gras. Same. Loved it. Unbelievable life experience. Would never do it again. You have to get to the New Orleans Convention Center at like 10 in the morning. And you roll back into it on the float like midnight. So there are certain things. I did it. Never. I had a buddy of mine that this was years ago. And he had like a, I don't know, like about a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. And he said, Chuck, I just can't explain to you the love you have for your children. I wouldn't take $1 million for either one of them. And he paused. He says, I wouldn't pay a nickel for two more just like them. But I wouldn't take $1 million for my kids. So, yeah, going to Bristol, if you have two other fan bases, because I think the Virginia Tech and Tennessee fans, hey, are y'all glad you went? Heck yeah. You go back? No. No. This is being alleviated somewhat with many of the recent non-conference scheduling announcements being on campus in the future. Now, I can run through some of those and give you some examples. Now, like for this season, hold your nose, dog fans. But if you're talking about, like, Georgia has a non-conference game with Clemson this year, it's in Charlotte. Now, they always have a non-conference game on campus, either Atlanta or Athens with Georgia Tech. This year, they've added Charleston Southern, UAB, which is a really good opponent, who is not going to beat Georgia. But UAB is not just a little speed bump. That's a legit opponent that you better saddle up, brother. Saddle up. That's a tough team, and they're well coached, and you should beat them. A year from now, Georgia plays Oregon, neutral site. You know what starts happening in 2023? Georgia at Oklahoma. 2025, Georgia at UCLA. UCLA makes the return trip in 26, Georgia at Louisville. 2027, at Florida State, Louisville comes to Athens. 2028, at Texas. Are you kidding me? Good night. Was all this, Dan, you covered the program. Get on the microphone. Was all this McGarity, or do you think Kirby was like working behind the scenes? Well, because this is amazing, and it has been done perfectly.
An impetus was Kirby, very much. I mean, and he's even said as much, that a huge part of this was knowing where the college football playoff landscape was going and knowing that they were going to need games like this. So I think that basically it was he walked upstairs, went up to McGarity and said, hey, make this happen. And McGarity said, yeah, I think you're right.
Throw us into a wood chipper, you know? Let us prove something. So 2021, it's versus Clemson in Charlotte, North Carolina. 2029, versus Clemson in Clemson. Florida State comes to campus. Texas comes to Athens. Did I mention Ohio State yet? This is insane. Ohio State at Georgia, Georgia at Ohio State. Put it on pay-per-view, brother. I've said that in the NFL, still not Patrick Mahomes for some reason, but Lamar Jackson, I've said if the NFL went to straight pay-per-view, like every game, you could see every game every Sunday, but it's like $6 a game. First thing I do Sunday morning is order the Baltimore Ravens. Give me some Lamar Jackson. That kid is so much fun to watch. That's the kind of thing where if every college football game it became a buffet and you weren't paying $117 a month for cable, does this sound like a YouTube TV commercial? If you weren't paying $117 a month for cable and you could just pick your games, all right, $3 a game, well, give me that one. Gimme, 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 gimme. But for this season, PU.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We're at 100% capacity. We are full go, full experience. We'll have Yale practice on Friday night. We'll have all the activities before the game, tailgating, all those festivities that take place on a college football Saturday.
Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork. Sounded like he'd had some Sanka, but still, that's Ross Bjork. That's a pretty exciting announcement there. At least I was taking it that way. Again, Texas A&M Athletic Director, and the funny thing is, I knew the clip we were going to play. Dan said, hey, Ross Bjork talking about 100% capacity. Now, I immediately knew what my comment was going to be. Well, it's just the latest, because 100% capacity is going to be normal. What did I see? The Dodgers had 52,000 people?
Yeah, it was the largest since the pandemic started, the largest crowd in the U.S., beating out the Indianapolis 500.
52,000 at Dodger Stadium for a Tuesday night game?
They called it reopening day, so I think it basically was, hey, you get to finally see the world champs.
And so, 100%. And I'll put it this way, and this is not a political commentary. I said this during a year ago I would have said this. California and the further west you get, they're not always accurate, but the further west you go in America, the further you get into deep, deep, deep concern about environmental standards, public health and safety, et cetera. It is, they're more touchy-feely. They're more liberal. They're more left. California cool. You know, you can describe it 50 different ways, but California was going to be the last brick. Okay. They were going to be the first. Remember, they announced last May, no sports at all anywhere. And I was like, seems extreme. For the rest of the calendar year, remember the California State University system, which is not, like Cal and Stanford. Stanford's private. I think Cal is too, maybe. But it's Fresno State and Cal State Northridge. So the state university system in May was like, no more athletics the rest of the calendar year. I was like, uh-oh. But when it comes to air quality and water purity and what, that's, it's always more stringent the further west you get. And so I identified a year ago, I was like, California is going to be the last place in our United States to declare full open. And when they do, you can, and I have no scientific background, no expertise in infectious diseases, but I said when California is a full open, that means pandemic is effectively over. And the truth is, for any American, we got 330 million people in America. For any American who chooses for the pandemic to be over in his or her life, the pandemic is over in his or her life. It's a choice. So they're going to be a full go out in California. They already are. Texas A&M, Ross Bjork. The phrase I was waiting to hear. Dan, do you remember we played a cut from him last year talking to some boosters? And he, full experience. Is that a Kyle Field thing? Is that like a Texas A&M phrase? Because he said it last year. I think it was boosters. He was like, we're looking forward to the full experience on like Zoom or something like that. And I was like, full experience, that means 90 whatever thousand. And that's what they wanted. And according to Dan Mullen, that's what they got. But the full experience being back, it's 100,000 plus at Kyle Field.
I'm not aware of that being any of their traditions. And those of you who don't know, oh boy, do they have plenty. I think the saying is, from the inside, you could never tell. From the outside, you could never understand. I think that's kind of the saying of the Aggie alum and the fans. But no, I think that he was just trying to stop short of saying the words 100% capacity. I think saying full experience, there was still a little bit of wiggle room, some flexibility there for him to be able to get away with it. And I think Texas A&M was kind of the, at least to your point, like Dan Mullen said, what people wanted last year, but they were able to enjoy as close to it as possible, and now they'll get 100% inside the building. Speaking of California, that's where I'm going to go, because we need to give credit where credit is due. Because a couple of years ago, Chuck, I said on these very airwaves that Clay Helton was in way over his head at USC. Yeah. And I know that there are some people who are still not convinced of what he can do. I believe it was Adam Gorney, if I'm getting wrong in terms of the attribution for who had this yesterday on Twitter. They said, USC fans, you're going to be awake. You're going to want to be awake. This came about midday yesterday. And, of course, the first mention on Twitter, which you can't necessarily take Twitter for being real life, is Clay Helton is finally fired. That's what some of the fans there at USC want, because he's not the name. He doesn't have the look. He doesn't have the cachet. He doesn't even have really what they believe
every
that
bit
they should.
Every bit of that is true.
They want Pete Carroll back is what they want. They want the guy that's willing to have Will Ferrell on the sidelines and Snoop Dogg at practice and everything of the such. But you're just not getting that. They had an awful recruiting class, and you thought that's the beginning of the end for Clay Helton. He has now since found a way to get around it, because he's got Keyonte Ingram there. He has got a host of players in the transfer portal. That guarantee you, once the transfer portal really started to become a thing, he had a team meeting with his guys in the on the coaching staff and on the support staff and said, that's how we find our ways out of this quagmire that we are in with poor recruiting this year, is that we go get experienced guys to offset the losses that we had there. And they are doing that this year. And not only are they doing it this year, Chuck, he's coming off two very good recruiting classes. And he also just went across the country into an area where a coach in that state has been coming into his state and plucking people out. Dabo Swinney has been going across the country and going into his state and saying, hey, Clemson, South Carolina over South Central LA, do you like that idea? Because I think you will. And now he's starting to do that. And if he's starting to up the recruiting, maybe, just maybe, he might have USC back on the right path.
Is the kid's name Michael Williams?
I believe Mikel Williams, I think is how you say it.
Williams.
I believe it's Mikel.
Five-star defensive tackle from Columbus, Georgia, who Kirby's been on like a bad rash. And you're right, turnabout and such, going out to the West Coast and bringing their best players here. It really is a reversal. Helton's got history in the South, and USC is still a brand, but you're right about everything. Just by the looks test, you're like, USC, what are you doing? It's turning around.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Well, I've told you every single Wednesday for the past about 3.5 years that ain't no better way to start your day if you're a football fan than LandryFootball.com. It could be high school recruiting, college. It could be Super Bowl Sunday, the combine, the draft. My gosh, the draft. All of it, in fact. Landry, in fact, I don't know this because I haven't asked him about this, but I think he probably is now wrapping up spring game tape because no combine created more work and the draft and all that. And so it's there, man. Every single day, dynamic, updated information at LandryFootball.com. I want to welcome him on right now. Chris Landry, how are you, brother?
I am doing good. You got it right. You remember right. I've been feverishly looking through a lot of tape. Spring practice tape, which is really good to do it now because you can go through sequential order. So you can take, you know, like Georgia tape, Georgia preview and Ole Miss preview went up yesterday in Missouri. You look at the start of spring, see how they progress and, you know, what they do, how they adjust personnel and whatnot, and go back over the spring notes, the film grade notes from last year, and working on a Landry Football Guide, all the previews. So just how the players graded out, the keeping track of all the information that is the transfer portal and giving everybody evaluation of who graded out the best on last year's team, with the incoming impact of the incoming transfers and recruits, as well as take a look at, you know, the draft, NFL draft checklist for the class of 2022, 2023, 2024, and to kind of give you an idea of kind of, yeah. So we figured give you, so that's, it takes a little time to go through it, but we're working our way through it.
And it was one day, maybe it was last week, I'm trying to remember, whenever you had the Texas A&M, and I'm just picking a random team. I go to LandryFootball.com, I see the Aggies logo. I'm like, all right, the Texas A&M preview is up. I click on it. Chris, it was like an A&E biography of Texas A&M, man. It was as drilled down and deep a preview. And it might have been one day last week, I think I saw the Aggies up. But it's for all the teams you put up, man. It is an exhaustive preview. If you're a fan of that team or your team plays that team, tremendous previews.
It's about 20 pages, so you couldn't print this stuff. I mean, you know, and we're kind of the, I know they still do the print stuff, but it's up to date. So we try to, one of the other reasons why I don't want to do them all so early is then you're having to, in the modern world, you're having to change a lot of the information because what you did. And then you, of course you can't do them all on August 1st either, but yeah, it's about, if you were to print it out, it'd be about 20 pages, I think, of everything. So it's a lot of information. Look, if it's too much, go to the things that most interest you, but we got something for everybody from every angle, and we'll do that NFL, college, you know, side of things. Yep. We've got it for you.
LandryFootball.com, folks. I am a member there. Be like me. Get you a subscription. All right, Chris, I'm going to, you know, normally I just jump into it, man, and specifics and nuts and bolts. I want to ask you a philosophical question that can apply to literally any program in America, and I think it is – as much a priority as anything else right now. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine, and he said the biggest advantage right now for any staff would be less time recruiting equals more time coaching, lowering attrition. one of the biggest outcomes a coach can pursue right now. Lower, because when the guy leaves, you got to invest time, money, all your resources in replacing that scholarship that previously you would have had for 3, 4, or 5 years. My question to you is, if less time recruiting yields more time, that's an advantage if you can coach instead of recruiting. You know, what's the magic code? What's the baked in secret to less attrition? Because if you can lower attrition, you got more time to coach.
It sounds simple, yeah. But I think you need to be very straightforward and honest. I think it starts in recruiting. If you're selling this grandiose dream that is not true, you might be able to get them there, but keeping them there is going to be hard. So if you're upfront and say, this is what we do, this is who we are, this is why we think you're a good fit, it's not going to be easy, but this is why it's going to work for you. This is why it's going to work with you as you study your, whatever your field is, your future beyond football, and this is what we can do for you with your future in football. Look at what we've done here. This is what we think. This is what our defense coordinator thinks you can fit, our offense coordinator, whatever. You really lay it out. And if you do that, then I think you've laid the foundation of a relationship of honesty. There are going to be some players that just may not be happy. But if you've done a good job of explaining who you are and what you are and learning what their goals are, you can sometimes say, I don't think we're a fit, and it could be either way. I think if you do that, the better chance you're having to keep. So much of recruiting is just sales. Want everybody, tell them everything, and then we'll figure it out later. That doesn't work, because that's where you have more of the complete upheaval. The other thing is, if you have a philosophy, if you have a head coach that delegates to assistants more, meaning you can delegate, the coaches have to do their job, but if you don't have a standard philosophy of how you do things, then it changes every time you have a new staff. So now the kids that you recruited for the past 2 years, they're now not quite the fit of the guys that you want. LSU, Bo Pelini, Dave Aranda, now new staff. All of that is what they were told in recruiting. Now is a little bit different, and sometimes it jives, sometimes it doesn't. You have to almost like re-recruit them over again. The stability within the program, how we do it, laying that out is really important for sustainability. You're always going to have kids that leave, but most of the time, the elite ones, when the player leaves, it's because the school's kind of wanting to move on from them and use their scholarship. And I think that's the key. The other thing is, I think once they're on campus, you got to continue that communication. You got to see where they are. You should know who's – well, I think everybody knows, but you should be able to know soon enough when a guy's starting to waver, like he's not really buying into what they're doing. You got to get to spend time with that kid and know what's going on with that kid. Is it personal? Is it and deal with it. Because if you don't deal with it, then it's, you know, it's going to – it's like a leak in a bucket. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. I think some people use the phrase, you have to constantly recruit your kids on campus. And that's another way to put it. But you've got to constantly encourage them that, look, your time is coming. And they have to buy into it. But to me, it's on the front end. It's during. And I think on the back end, the experience that they have goes such a long way towards that information being filtered down to the next group of kids that say, you know what? This is what you get if you go to that school versus, I don't know what the heck I'm going to get here. And, you know, 2 years from now, it's going to be completely different staff. It's going to be this. It's, you know, defensive or offensive, you know, philosophy du jour. Well, that stuff's going to lead to, well, that doesn't fit what I do. It did when I signed, but it doesn't now. That's the lack of continuity.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com here every single Wednesday, bottom of hour one. I want to ask you one more question. You can apply this.
I love that question. I love that question, by the way. And I'm sorry I went so long.
That is so
important, and that is the heart of what's going on right now.
I want to ask you about, and I'm going to use Mike Locksley as the example, because that's actually what it was. I'll skip all the details, but there was a kid who signed with the Maryland class, and he's listed as a defensive lineman, and I'm just curious. I'm like, well, that doesn't fit. That's not what Maryland does on defense, but they signed him, and I thought they would list him as an edge. He's like, no, he's a defensive lineman.
And so I'm asking a buddy of mine about that, and he starts laughing. I was like, he doesn't fit what y'all do. And he starts, I was like, why are you laughing? He's like, Loxley doesn't care. He's like, Loxley just wants the, just, here, he said, Mike Loxley's bottom line in recruiting, the most just sheer talented players he can find at any scheme, any position, any body type. Get him on campus. We'll figure it out when he gets here.
He's trying to jump in there real quick. That's a case where he's trying to build a recruiting philosophy. We're going to get some top guys so other guys will come. So the guy doesn't fit, but maybe the next guy will. I'm not quite sure I buy that that's going to work, but that's what he's trying to do.
And okay, so talk about that, because if – you know, you can't get so bogged down in scheme and even or odd or whatever. I mean, you got to have players that fit what you're doing, option quarterback and a spread. You know, you can miss players, but as far as just get the most, just the largest sheer volume of talented players on this roster, and then we'll figure out where they play when they get here. It doesn't seem to me that you're really building on concrete. That's a lot of shifting sand, because that leads into the transfer thing. Well, I thought I was going to do that. Like Albert Haynesworth, remember when he got to Washington? And everybody thought Albert was just belly moaning about, no, they told me it was a different defense. And even I was like, shut up and play. It matters sometimes. And so there are kids who will wind up disillusioned because they're like, this isn't what I do.
That's exactly right. And I think there are certain programs that have established themselves to where they can do that and move on. Programs like Maryland, they're just trying to get big-name guys to come in. In the end, if you're going to do that, you have to be very eclectic in your philosophy. So you have to take that guy and you have to say, what can he do well? And let's play to them. So, all right, look, let's put him in a situation where he plays a little bit more down or up or whatever the case may be, either side of the ball. You got to be willing to do that. But if you bring in a guy that doesn't fit, look, this is not, you don't win by collecting talent. You win by building a team. Now, you need to get good talent, but you need to get it with an understanding of how you're going to use them. And it happens at all levels. When I drafted Javon Kearse, you know, he was an inside backer at Florida. That's how Stephen them used. I mean, they you know, that's how they used him. He was going to be an edge rusher. So my whole thing was, we're not taking him 16. If we don't understand what we're doing with him, he's going to rush the passer. And the first time we're talking about what he doesn't know how to drop to the curl of the flat, you know, there's going to be like multiple heads. I'm going to blow up. Because this guy can rush the passer. Like, if he's coming out of the racer stance, you know, somebody's going to get fired. Because just let him do what he can do, and then we'll build off of that. Well, that's the same thing you should do in college. All right, so take a guy. Now, they're a little bit younger, and they're a little bit more moldable. But take the guy. If he's a good pass rusher, utilize him. Stand up, stand down, 4-3. It doesn't matter. You've got to have a plan and a vision for him. And if you don't, he's going to leave. So what have you done? Won some award in some ranking in February or December? And then they're going to say, well, boy, you sure can't coach him. I think it catches up with you. You've got to have a plan. And if you're at a smaller school, you get those big guys, that's great. You got to be eclectic with, we're going to mix up our defense or offense to fit the personnel. You got to do that. Whereas if you're the established program, you can go and say, don't want that type of running back, too small for what we do, and pass over to get the same caliber guy that's bigger. You could do that. Can't do that if you're Maryland, but you better know how you use them, and you better not say he doesn't fit what we do. It'll be somebody else coaching them again in a couple of more years.
Yeah, and I remember even when I was coaching high school, and certainly, you know, college recruiting and all that, I've seen it at least from the outside. You know, even like a 16 or 17-year-old high school player who maybe is having a hard time making his SAT score, Chris, even that kid recognizes bull spit. Even that, of course. He knows when it's just being shoveled, man. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue with Chris Landry. That is next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Back in it with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, let's talk Florida Gators offense and the running game. Now, there are two different things that I want to – like rushing yards. I'm confident the Gators will have more rushing yards this year. Emory Jones is going to be the quarterback, I believe. But will the running game be better?
Well, I think it's going to be different. I think you just hit on it. I think your ability to work the quarterback in the run game and to kind of manipulate defenders in the box is going to be real pivotal. I think you're going to see success in the passing game with running backs, but I think it's going to look a little bit different as opposed to maybe the threat of play action, pulling it down, and making plays from the pocket in the passing game. Off of that's going to be a little bit limited. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of outside zone stuff. I think it'll be effective, and I think they'll put an emphasis on it. I think the key will be, though, is just how our Emory could make people pay for overloading against the run, because we know that's going to be the key.
I want to head to Rocky Top right now, and tell me if you think this is being harsh, because I think this is a recipe for disaster for the 21 season, not a commentary on where it'll go big picture. I think Tennessee has the worst defense in the conference and a head coach who insists his offense go warp speed. That don't work. Tell me if you think this is too harsh. 2020 Ole Miss with less offensive talent.
I don't think you're being too harsh. I think that Josh is going to have to understand that while you want to go tempo, and no one had more offensive snaps than he did at his previous stop. For people that can get this offense off the field, and there'll be some people that'll have success, and they'll move it and have some success. People will like it. There'll be some highlight plays. The defense will be awful. And I think it's just going to be, can they score enough points? This defense is going to be a mess from a personnel standpoint. And you're right. From a schematic standpoint, think about a bad version of what, some of the Big 12 teams that couldn't defend folks at all. This is what Tennessee is. And I'm not sure how good the offense is going to be able to outscore you.
All right, I'm going to relay a story that I was told three different times by people who don't know each other. And I was like, all right, I'm going to believe it at this point. And I've never asked Gene Chizik or Gus Malzahn, and I probably should. They win the national title in 2010. 2011, they're playing at Clemson. And what I was told at halftime, Chizik basically tells Gus Malzahn, slow your damn offense down. We don't have Nick Fairley this year. You have to slow that down. And Gus's response is like, dude, I got one offense. Now, first of all, the head coach is the head coach in my mind. If he wants it pink, it's pink. But when you have a situation like that, I mean, you have to recognize if you're Josh Heupel, don't you? That this,
you do.
This year, for right now, I don't have to prove a point about my offense. I need to get these kids through a 12-game schedule.
You do, and that's what being a head coach is. And that you just hit on something as to why some guys that just get promoted from being, let's say, an offensive coordinator in this situation, some become really good head coaches and some don't. Which ones become good head coaches? The ones that know how to lead and know how to adjust and say, okay, the best thing for the football team of Old State U is we've got to protect our defense a little bit more, that we can't just outscore. Look, I think on a higher level, I think Lincoln Riley needs to figure some of that out. Now, they're good. They're really good. In fact, they're so good that I don't think he's quite bought into that the defense needs to do so. Well, I think this year you may see some of that. And we've seen a little bit of that with Georgia with their offense. I think you have to. I think that those are an example of an offensive coach needing to understand what his defense needs and a defensive coach needing to know what his offense needs and vice versa. That's what's important. And if you, in a case like Gus only, we've discussed this ad nauseum. I won't get into it further, but you know, Gus knows his offense and that's it. And that's why I think while Gus was able to coach his way into some impressive wins, there was never any sustained consistency because the overall understanding of what needed to be done and the tempo, he had some pretty good defenses. In fact, he had some great defenses, and they kind of carried him, but in some cases didn't even help him out. In this case, Josh has got to figure it out. I think Josh did an okay job. He didn't do as good a job as Scott Frost did. The program has slipped a little bit, and they certainly didn't do anything in that league that he came from to help the defense. He's going to have to do it here. And if he doesn't figure that out, then it won't be a successful head coaching stint. And I'll say it beyond this year. If he can figure that out, well, then he's got a chance. And it's the right type of balance. You've got to work to your strength. You work to your offense. But part of it is just this. Look, we can score a bunch of points, but let's see if we can work the tempo in our favor where we can score points but use more clock so that we help our defense. A lot of guys don't know it. Full gas. Fine. You know, that's what you get. Paul Westfall's Loyola Marymount.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're gonna get it up and shoot it, and we don't really care. Defense is not what we do. We're just going to shoot more shots, and we think we can make more. That is what a lot of people think, and I think that's where they fall short. That's where Josh will fall short if he takes that approach. And you hit a defense. I can absolutely believe both stories because a defensive coach will say it, and he may not demand it, but he'll say, Coach, we are going to die on the vine if we don't do something different. And that's an age-old argument, as you know, between offensive and defensive coaches.
Absolutely it is. And like I said, when I heard it, I was like, yeah, okay, I believe that. And it kind of fits, you know.
Yes. It fits. It may not – if it's not true, it probably should have been because it just – it sounds like something that needed to be said at that time.
Yep. All right. Chris, we got like 30 seconds. Tell everybody how to get what I got, a subscription.
LandryFootball.com, very simple. Go there. You check it out. We've got all the information. Click on I'd suggest everyone click on the big sale, the scouting season offer. It's the best deal that we have. Very nominal. If you get it, it's less than $5 a month. If you get it for a year, it's like having your own scouting and coaching department for less than the magazine subscription. So check it out today. All the previews, all the analysis, college, NFL, notebooks every day, all the podcasts, all the shows, TV shows, Twitch TV shows. Got it all for you. LandryFootball.com scouting season offer. Take advantage of it today. You like football, you're going to love LandryFootball.com.
And you'll be joining me every single morning at LandryFootball.com. Chris, appreciate it, brother. Do it in 7 days.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Take care.
All right. Again, from LandryFootball.com. So that's what's going to happen this year. That's the potential. It ain't potential. It's what's going to happen. You have a coach that does everything at Mach 2 offensively, and you got a defense that just does not have SEC caliber players, not enough of them at each of the three levels.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamJack.com.